Our theme this month is Discipleship Begins at Home. Discipleship begins at home. And today, I'll be focusing on grandparenting. Grandparenting as God's means of discipleship at home. So I was thinking of all the names we call our grandparents, right? My kids called great-grandma Go-Go. Go-Go. And Pop-Pop. Go-Go and Pop-Pop. The best title I have in the whole world is Papa, Papa. So what are some of the names you call your grandparents or are called by your grandchildren? What are some of the names that, what is it? Oh, great grandma, yes. Anyone else? Oh, and you have one?
What?
Mima. Mima. Is there a southern one, Mau Mau and Paw Paw? Am I right? Is it something like that, Mau Mau and Paw Paw? Any southerners here? Am I correct? I don't have the right accent, Mau Mau and Paw Paw. Thank you, that was good. You have one over here that's in? Mima?
Bima.
Oh, the final judgment? Bima, Bima. Yes, what? Oma. And Opa is a German.
Bestemor.
For which one?
Grandma.
Grandma. Okay. Anyone else have an unusual? Maybe you developed your own. Oh, here's coming. There's one back here. I'm going to have to come all the way back. Wait, let me get.
Mimi.
Mimi. That's what you are called? Okay, Mimi. Nana and Papa. Nana and Papa. That is a favorite, isn't it? Grammy and Gramps, right? Is that the equivalent? No, okay.
Grandpa.
Grandpa. Anyone else have an in? Yes, you have to say it real loudly. Meme and Pepe. Is that another language? A French. I thought it was grand-mère and grand-père. That's the short, that's the affectionate. The warm affectionate. Very good, very good. And what, another one? Oh, yes, right here, go ahead.
Nona and Papin.
Italian, Nona and Papin. Now, those are also affectionate. They have longer ones for Italian names, right? I was looking up the different languages, and I realized that those are probably the formal names. Let's see, grand-mère, grand-père, we said that. What do they say for Italian? Oh, Nona and Okay, that's more affectionate, right? I came across Filipino Lola and Lolo. Any Filipino? Lola and Lolo. Isn't that interesting? I think the Hebrew names are very much parallel to these very informal ways, what little children can say sooner, right? What can children say when they're young? I find that whoever's the oldest grandchild kind of sets the pace. Everyone else has to follow suit to whoever is the founding child to give the name. Kind of sticks a little bit. Isn't it precious, right, to have that name called? It be called by that name, by your grandchildren. So, Bob, what is your grandchild calling you?
Pappy.
Wow. Wow. My grandkids' first name they came up with was Bob. Oh my. Solomon, that's what all the say. See, he thinks everyone likes him. Everybody goes, Bob, Bob. That's great. Grandchildren, Solomon said, are the crown of the age and the glory of children as their fathers. Isn't it a privilege to be grandparents and to have a natural, God-given entry point into a child's life? I mean, they accept you. They love you. It's just a precious entry point that God gives us into the life of a little child. So it's a privilege to be a grandparent. A little boy was in church next to his father. His dad said, hey, why don't you say a little prayer as we begin the service today? And the little boy says, dear God, bless mommy and daddy and bless everyone to be healthy and happy. And then the little boy looked up and he said, and God, please give me a bicycle from Grandpa. And the dad said, God isn't hard of hearing. Why are you yelling a prayer to God? Grandpa is hard of hearing. I want him to hear. So it's interesting that when we think of discipleship and Jesus' command to make disciples, he says, make disciples, and then by teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And that, realize that discipleship is learning to be an obedient follower of the Lord. Obedient follower. God's means of discipleship in the Old Testament was from grandpa to grandson. Grandpa to dad to grandson, grandmother to daughter to granddaughter. There was a generational discipleship commitment and responsibility. It is our first place of discipleship is right at home. Do you remember how Paul, speaking to Timothy, gave honor to his grandmother? What was her name? Lois. And his mother, Eunice, as being those that were the source of his spiritual example and lessons of life, right? It came from grandma. Grandma was so influential in Timothy's following the Lord. So I'm looking at taking some principles from Deuteronomy 6 once again. I'm going to first focus on the legacy piece, the legacy. You saw in chapter 6, in verses 1 through 3, he talks about preparing them to go into the land, right? Moses is giving his last message to the people of Israel before he's to go to heaven, and he gives them instructions on how they could enjoy the blessings of God's promised land. And not only they could enjoy the blessing, he wanted their children to enjoy that blessing, and he wanted their grandchildren to enjoy that blessing. That you may fear the Lord your God, verse 2, and your son and your son's son by keeping all his statutes and his commandments. If you look back two chapters to chapter 4 and verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? That's a major responsibility, but God's means of discipleship begins at home. Now, what is the first quality that transfers truth from one generation to the next? We see that in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 6. And he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And certainly that love theme, starting with our love for God, that is reflected in our love for others and expressed love at home for our children and our grandchildren, that love theme is a powerful theme. When we put God first, that's what love is. It's saying put him above everything else, anything else. When the Lord is first, we love him first, that's going to make an impression. That's going to communicate truth to the next generation. This is the great Shema of Judaism's confession of faith. Two times a day, pious Jews recite this portion of Scripture. They declare that God is the only God and he deserves wholehearted commitment. With your heart, the center of your will, your decision-making should put him first. Your soul refers to the life of the person. We were created from the dust of the ground. God breathed in the breath of life. We became a living soul. With all our strength, focuses on the physical might of a person. It's often said that grandchildren make you feel young again. But if you spend more than an hour with the grandchildren, it makes you feel old again with all your strength. So, you know, just throwing all our love for the Lord. And what an impression that makes on our children and our grandchildren. They know what we love, don't they? They know what we value. They know what's most important to us. And that transfers to that next generation. They see it and they experience it. Whatever we invest our whole heart, soul, and strength into is our God. And they know who our God is when we worship the Lord, He being the first in our lives. The Deuteronomy 4 said, keep your soul diligently. I thought, keep your soul diligently. Protect your soul. As life goes on and we face the kind of the skirmishes of life and the battles of life, and sometimes you can see in an older person maybe a critical spirit or harshness, and that love for God keeps us tender to Him, keeping Him first, seeing Him at work through the challenges of life. The people of Israel had witnessed God's protection through the Red Sea. They had seen His provision as they're circulating and God providing food for them. And then they saw His power giving them victory in those initial battles as they come to the Promised Land. And He said, don't forget what you have seen. Don't forget that you have witnessed God's goodness, God's provision, God's faithfulness. And let that define how you are testimony to others. It's really a powerful thing to see an older person's testimony of God's faithfulness and recalling God's faithfulness and seeing God's faithfulness through their lives. So this is God's kind of love that we're being challenged with today. There was a study done, this study was done multiple times, but there was 40 grandchildren that were interviewed and asked to describe the influence of their grandparents. And I think a lot of folks as grandparents say, you know, we would like to leave a legacy to our children and grandchildren, a spiritual legacy. We want to see them come to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord. And so you think of that legacy, the question was, are grandparents making any impact at all? And two professors from John Brown University kind of did this study of these grandchildren describing their grandparents. And I'm going to come back to a couple of them, but the one that stood out to me relative to this theme of love was that there was a sense in which the grandparents have a unique ability to lavish love, grace, and mercy on grandchildren who are in deep need of such gifts. I like that word, lavish love, lavish love. There's something about a grandparent's love that just the grandchild experiences the love of God through them, that unique entry point into their lives. I think of it this way. I think of all the things that frustrated me as a parent, and I see parents with their grandchildren or with their children, and they're working on the discipline, and I just think they're the funniest things in the world now. The things that really bothered me back then, and it's like fun to watch. Aren't grandchildren entertaining? I mean, think of going out on a Friday night and spending money on something that would really kind of be enjoyable. 2 hours with the grandchildren, you have more stories, more funnies, you're recounting them better than any movie you'd ever see. It's just fun. So think of that word, lavish love, lavish love. But the next thought I had is they need to know how God's word has influenced and shaped our lives. He says to love the Lord your God. Then he says, these words that I command you today to be on your heart, they should be on your heart. And I'm not sure I always make the connect point, but they certainly, grandchildren are listening, they're watching. I would encourage us to take a principle from God's word, a memory verse that you have in your heart, and tie it in to the conversation you're having with your grandchild. Show them how God's word has shaped your life, influenced your decision making, and guided your decision making. I was trying that the other day with a 2-year-old. It was interesting. I often think of singing songs. They listen to my singing, you know, and thinking of some really encouraging spiritual songs to keep in their hearts and mind. My God is so great. No, I just missed it. Okay, that's it. My God is so good. Sing it for me, please. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. I couldn't get it this morning. I want them to know that that's defining how my life. The greatness of God, the goodness of God, defining it. We need to know God's word. We need to continue to reflect and to memorize God's word. I think of the Apostle Paul when he was commending Lois for her influence on Timothy. Then he said, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others." And I realized that Paul knew that there was a principle of transferring truth from one generation to the next generation. It was his means of discipleship. But then I came to the end of 2 Timothy, and he said, Paul's at the end of his life, right? So though he was a single person, I think of him as the mature saint at this point. And he says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Here it is. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Isn't that great? I have fought the good fight. Isn't that what life is? It's a fight, a battle. I have finished the race, persevered. I have kept the faith. Grandchildren looking at a grandpa and a grandma see that example of one who has persevered in adversity, because they will face adversity. And during their adversity, part of what will give them strength, in addition to the presence of the Lord, is the example of grandma and grandpa who persevered, who didn't give up, pressed on, remained faithful. That's a lesson that passes on. So it's not enough to talk about the good old days, but it's important to talk about the goodness of God and the promises of his word. Number 4, share the lessons that you have learned with your grandchildren. Share the lessons you have learned with your grandchildren. Moses goes on and writes, "Impress them, these commandments, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you get up." Talk about, when you're with your grandchildren, times when you faced a similar challenge and how God gave you strength through that difficulty. Share by how you respond in a difficult situation that you're trusting God's faithfulness, because values are more often caught than taught. The scripture says, impress these truths on your children. That means to sharpen, like the sharpness of an arrow, so it penetrates the target. We communicate God's truth when we spend time with a person so that the truth is taught in the context of real life situations. Spend time with your grandchildren. I can't think of anything more valuable. Now, some of us live a distance from our grandchildren, right? Some of us are a whole coast away, right? I'm an Ohio away from 3 of my grandchildren. And one of our challenges is impacting our grandchildren at a distance. Now, that's not quite as hard as it was in the days before cell phone and FaceTime. We have one grandson who loves to FaceTime us. It could be a nice long conversation. Last time, Papa, I have to do something, but don't hang up. I'm putting you down, but I'll be right back. You know, it's great. We can have FaceTime. But I do think that I had two thoughts here. One is maximize the opportunities that we can with our grandchildren. The distance grandchildren tend to get a quantity of time for a period of time. And then local ones tend to be in and out of their lives pretty regularly. But I encourage you to prioritize that, because your time with your grandchildren will be the vehicle through which God gives you opportunity to share the good news and to show what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I heard the story of a six-year-old who was asked where his grandma lived. You probably heard this. Oh, he said, she lives at the airport. And when we want her, we just go to the airport. And then when we're done having her visit, we take her back to the airport. So grandma lives at the airport. And then finally, live. Show your grandchildren how you practice God's word. Show your grandchildren how you practice God's word. Paul was the one who said, look at my example, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I had the opportunity to spend a little time with my mom, who now, with her husband, have, let's see, 9 children. Oh, how many great-grandchildren? Oh, well, I know there's 44 great-grands now, 45 great-grands that they pray for each morning. They pray for each of the 45 great-grands by name each morning. When my dad was disabled, one of the driving thoughts my mom had was, I don't want my children to lose their faith through the trial that I'm going through. I want them to see that I'm trusting the faithfulness and goodness of God through the trial. It was a driving principle almost of her life. She's articulated that more recently. Driving principle of her life was living, trusting God through adversity. So here the principle is live it out. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Let it define our actions. Bind them on your forehead. Let it define our thoughts. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let it define how we live at home and in the activities of life. That was the challenge. Live it out. Live it out with the words we say, with the example of our lives, with modeling what we do. That should be a defining part of life for us, isn't it? How we live influences the next generation. We're being watched, right? We're being watched. They're learning what life is all about through the example, first of mom and dad. But studies show that the second most influential person or persons in the life of a child are the grandparents. It's the grandparents. Somehow in the creation and the order of God, God has wanted grandparents to be of influence. So back to that study. The study was by Hope Allen and Heidi Schultz, and they did an article, and I saw a publication in March 14, 2018, and they said in this article, grandparents hope to influence the new generation, to pass on their values, understanding, wisdom, and faith, influencing their grandchildren spiritually. So they analyzed these 40 interviews, and they came to observe these 6 areas in how you leave a spiritual legacy as a grandparent. The first one, they said, the grandchildren observed that their grandparents prayed They prayed. They prayed for them. The grandchildren remember Grandma and Grandpa praying for them by name. That was powerful. Secondly, they remember stories Grandma and Grandpa told about God's faithfulness to them. They remember the example of Grandma and Grandpa. They remember how they live, their values, what's important to them. They remember their quiet witness. They remember Grandma and Grandpa pointing them to the Lord. They remember Grandma and Grandpa's availability. Do you know why grandchildren love to talk to grandparents? Because they're the only ones listening. Really? And they go, wow, I have an audience. They're listening to me. And they get to tell their story in detail. Every nuance, they're telling the story because they have an audience. Isn't that wonderful? Their availability. And here was number six, and this is the one I'm coming back to. They especially remember the lavish love, grace, and mercy that Grandma and Grandpa showed them as grandchildren. And they saw and felt how that filled something really in their soul, filled their hearts. So praying for our grandparents today. You know, you think of all the mission fields that you could go to, all the mission fields of the world. Don't forget that the first place of discipleship begins at home. I used to do some door-to-door, not door-to-door evangelism, but it was, I would take the names of Awana families and then go visit the families who were not attending church. In other words, I'd find out who was the Awana children, then I'd go visit their homes. It was interesting, I found out something pretty interesting, that these families who are no longer engaged in the life of the church or even in a walk with God, they remembered the influence of their parents. But I saw a gap. I began to realize as I went to these homes, these were the folks that were a missing generation. Meaning, I was now sharing the gospel with people who had a background in church. And I thought to myself, I shouldn't have been the first missionary here to these families. The first missionary should have been parents to children to grandchildren. I'm not saying that it's always going to work, but that's the first mission field. Let's not forget our first mission field to reach another mission field. We are to be witnesses both in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Discipleship begins at home. Now, application. Some of us live a distance from grandchildren. Why don't you adopt a grandchildren? We have a number of families here who are at distance from their grandparents. I assure you, they would love to have an adopt a grandma, right? What a great opportunity. As you engage in children's ministry, look for those opportunities to kind of be an adoptive grandpa, adoptive grandma, because that's a great opportunity to serve. The other thing I wanted to note, and maybe we announced this before I came in, and that is we have a parenting class this summer during the second service starting June 3rd, Hope for the Home. Is that the title of it? Hope for the Home. And that's a great opportunity to think about refining our skills at discipleship right at home. We talked about discipleship of marriage. We talked last week, discipleship, 2 weeks ago, discipleship of mothering. We're going to eventually end up with discipleship of fathering. Remember, discipleship begins at home. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for establishing in your creation the beauty of grandparenting and the privilege of having access into the lives of precious little ones. Help us, Lord, to prioritize leaving a legacy to that next generation, to demonstrate your love toward these grandchildren. Help us to share with them the lessons of life and to show them how we've learned your word and applied it to our lives. But help us just to give time to these precious grandchildren that they may learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.